That's interesting. Well, thank you guys for being here for our first ever Own It meeting. Yeah, that's good times. I just want to say a couple thank yous right off the bat so I don't forget. I want to thank Dave Camus. He actually made our ribs and our chicken, and he just wanted to take care and give back to the community. And so he had to go home to take care of some dogs, but he loves to cook, and he used his spiritual gift. I don't know if spiritual gift is cooking, but he knows how to smoke some meat. And so when you see Dave, if you know Dave, just thank him because he worked really hard and he was super excited about fixing food for you guys and making it perfect and wanting you to experience the South a little bit because he's from Baton Rouge. Where's he from? They're real close. Same state. All right. I'll have to ask forgiveness for that one. Lafayette. It's Cajun country. All right. Well, all I know is he cooks, and so he wanted to bless us, so thank him on that. And I want to thank the setup crew that came down here earlier and got all the food, and then you guys coming with extra side dishes and that kind of stuff in a church way potluck. That's awesome to be a part of that, and I just wanted to thank you guys for spending time and energy doing that. And also, just thank you for spending a Sunday night with us. I tried to bribe you with good food, and there's desserts back there, too. So I also want to thank someone that you guys don't see very often. There's two people that do a lot of work around here, and actually three. Hannah Douglas. Hannah, raise your hand. Wave, Hannah. You have to wave it like you just don't care, Hannah. Up in the air. Hannah, I'm going to make you stand. There you go. Hannah is an integral part of what we do on the weekends. She runs the words and does training for people, and she also makes a lot of the graphics you're going to see tonight, and she's helped me. She's in the crew that saves my behind a lot, and so I just want to thank you, Hannah, for all the work you did this week to get the stuff done for today. And I also want to thank John and Jen Henson. They're going to be videotaping so that people that aren't here, yep. And they're part of the crew that gets, if you watch online, they are primarily responsible for getting that online so you guys can view it when you're not here or if you needed to see it again. So John and Jen, thank you. And then there's four. I forgot Micah. Micah, the master of all up here. He's doing a little bit of audio, and he's also... Oh, Micah. He's also recording tonight, and so that way when if someone's not here, they can go back and hear it and listen to it to see what we've missed, and hopefully we've hit all the pages and we're going to be out of here. Couple things. We're going to go over some vision pieces that we want to do. We're not going to keep you for a long time. We're going to try to be honoring you, and we're going to go fast. We're going to introduce some people. We're going to introduce some new concepts to you, and then we're going to go forward from there. We're going to watch a video, and then we're going to see some new future things that we're going to be trying to, that I need your guys' help in and buy in for. Yes? Yeah. All right. Some of you may be wondering why you're here. You're like, well, why did I get ribs and chicken and all that kind of stuff? You guys are here because you have chosen to own a portion of Element City Church, either through vision or mission, through being on the board or being an e-team leader or an e-group leader or some form or fashion you're serving or influencing or giving to Element City Church as a whole. And so that's why you're in the room. That's why you're here. And because I need your help, and you're going to find out about that. But I just wanted to thank you. That's the reason why you're here. So if you had any question of why that you were here, that's the reason why. We had some interesting things happen this year. We went through some changes. Let me run through one of them that is pretty obvious. We moved from Catalina to Emmanuel. That was a change, right? We're gonna clap. All right, that was good. By show of hands real quick, this is impromptu, if you want to. Who likes our situation now better than Catalina? Oh, that's pretty unanimous. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. There may be some holdouts that like Catalina better, but we're all good. We also We also have been focusing on developing some new board and board policies and things like that to help us run a little bit better. I know that's really interesting for you guys. I'm going to introduce the board in a minute. And another change that we went through is we went through a little leadership structure to get us back into our strengths and getting us into where the Holy Spirit really needed us to be and function as a staff and as leadership. And so that was the change that we went through too. And you'll hear a little bit more about that later. But I want to introduce to you I want to introduce you to some of the board members that are here. That way you can see what they're facing. And they help us put policy out, help us manage, and help me be accountable to leading and all that kind of stuff. So let's hold our applause till the very end. See the instruction right there? And what you hear above you is basketball, so you'll have to just tune that out a little bit. All right, Rebecca Niddle, where's she at, Rebecca? There she right there. You have to stand up. You have to stand up, Rebecca. She doesn't want to stand up. And Cameron Henham is not here, but Angelina is here. There you go. Mark Bertram. You have to stand up. There you go. Stand up. She's going to call you out. Trish Cordes, Karen, we hear her. All right. Karen Dondowitz, where's Karen Dondowitz? There she is. And we have one that's out of state, Trey Mapes. We all love our Trey Mapes, and he is out of state. He's living in Dallas working for Guidestone, and so he is helps us monthly. And then that is all chaired by one of my favorite people. You guys are all my favorite people. Maybe I should not say that. You all are my favorite people. But this Glenn Elliott is our chairperson, and he helps guide us and direct us like he's done for years for me. And so Glenn is just going to come and speak a little bit to us and just give some time.
I've had the honor of being a part of Elements when it first started. In fact, I remember the first time we started it was on a Saturday night, and that did not work. And so we moved to Sunday night, and the rest is history, and here we are. And so they asked me to be on the board, even though I'm technically not a part of Elements. I'm not an own it yet, but in a sense I am, because I put a lot of time into it. But so what we've done this year is we've restructured our board, and you saw some of the people that are a part of that. And I just want you to know the basic purpose of the board. We don't get into the weeds, that's what I call it. We don't get into the details. We empower the staff to be able to lead. And our job is three things, basically. We want to protect our staff, we want to support them, and we want to guide them. And that's really what we've done. And we've created what we call policy governance, where we just have already predetermined. These are the things that we need to have input in, but the rest, we just let the staff do that. And so we just are there to help and guide and provide that wisdom and that. And so anytime that you have some issues of concern, here's the basic rule of church. If you have a problem with someone, go to them first. Okay? That's what we do. If you have a problem with staff, go to them first. I have already had three calls from people who are complaining about staff, and my first question will always be, have you gone to them first? And every time they said, nope, and I say, I will not go to the staff until you do. Okay? Now, if you don't get a response that's healthy, come talk to us. We'll be glad to involve that. But we want you to go directly to the staff. And so you got a great situation here. I love the move that that made here. This was a good move. And, you know, any way that we want to be able to support the incredible work of Elements. So thanks.
It is super cool to be a part of a larger church in Tucson, and then being launching out, affecting the area where we are in Midtown. I just want to just spend a little bit of time just telling you kind of where my heart is, and this a lot of about tonight is just telling you what the Spirit's kind of been in my heart and kind of what I'm asking you guys to be a part of. My heart has always been for people in Midtown. I grew up here. I grew up at Broadway and Swan, and a lot of you guys know this. This area is literally dying. Physically, emotionally, and the darkness is so heavy. I don't know if you guys ever driven through the area. It's if you sat any length of time at Alvernon and Grant, and you get frustrated because there's so many pedestrians and people walking and going. I pulled into the Fry's, and it was just, my heart broke for the people that were just walking around. There are so many destructive patterns that are go on in this neighborhood. Generational sin of addiction, homelessness, poverty, domestic violence, child abuse, hunger. And I think the one that's the most silent is loneliness. Just people being lonely. We must be a church that God wants us to bring the good news and the gospel to a hurting community. We love others in a bold way. We as Element City Church want to love boldly others with partners so that we can see the hope and light of Jesus in Tucson. My heart is deeply engaged in Midtown. There's a while there, Kim and I thought about moving out to where the kids go to school, and he's kept us close to Midtown on the east side. But I want Element City Church, I want us to exist for this reason. I'm going to read it so I don't get it right. It'll be up on the screen behind me. Elements exist to bring the hope and light of Jesus to the heart of the city. Just take that in for a second. Reread it for yourself. Jesus is hope. And we want to bring Jesus to the heart of the city because he is the light and the hope that every single one of those addictions or things, patterns, he can destroy. He can get rid of. He can annihilate. And he gets to do it through us. And our mission is this. Invite people into a life-giving, life-changing relationship with Jesus. Life-giving, he died on the cross, he gives us life, and we have a new life. A past life was death, a new life, a new beginning. And then as we encounter him over and over and over again, he changes us. That's what we've been talking about, right? And we do this by inviting people to that life-giving, life-changing relationship. And we connect to God, to Jesus, and to the community by serving. Which all of you do a really good job. Like I said in service, when we put stuff out in front of you to go serve at John B. Wright or serve at Catalina or to go to Caring Ministries or to do a serve project, do backpacks or whatever it is, you guys step up and do it in a way that I'm blown away. Jack and I talk a lot on Thursdays about just the heartbeat of you guys and the serving that you're going to do and that you do is amazing. I don't know if you feel this or if it's just me, but Elements has been building some momentum. I feel the Holy Spirit is in a huge movement with us, opening our hearts and opening our minds and opening our church to make a bigger impact than we're making now. And let me know, we are making an impact in our community. We are giving tons of food away. We are reaching out and helping schools and principals. The Generosity Feeds event that we were a part of was a Holy Spirit put together. There's no other reason other than the Holy Spirit put that together. 450 volunteers coming together to pack 20,000 meals in an hour and a half. It was staggering. And if you weren't a part of that, please be the first to sign up next year, because it was a total movement of the Holy Spirit in a very tangible way that it was, I guess tangible is feeling it. So I was going to say something else, but it was powerful. And so we're making an impact in our community, and there's some things that have been happening. We've got new people exploring Elements. I don't know if you come a week and then you're gone for a week and then you come back for a week, there's people that you don't even know. Dallas and Kelly do a good job of, and a lot of you guys do, of greeting new people, and they're sitting alone and they're like, there's a bunch of people every week that I don't know. And so you guys do a great job of reaching out to those new people because they've been invited, or sometimes they're just showing up. Maybe the Spirit invited them, and you guys do a great job of just connecting with them and growing with them. And that means a lot when someone comes. Jack says it all the time. You know, it's a risk, and it takes courage to go to a new place. And you guys make it easy to grab hold of people and just make them feel welcome. So our giving has slightly increased since we moved from Catalina, which is a good. We are not exactly where we need to be, but we've increased. The food distributions that we do twice a month, they're doing great. We're trying to take all the food that Josh has and to disseminate it throughout Tucson. And so those are going well, and it's a great opportunity for new people for the first time to come and experience. We had a new family come, and their teenage daughters came for the first time last time, and they were like, this is the first time that they've ever served a population or anything like that. And they were like, the parents thought that they would be freaked out or wouldn't want to do it, and the girls just jumped in, and they totally, totally told their parents, we're doing this every month. So we are making a difference because they're using their gifts, right, and giving. We have, in this room, we have about 50 women every Tuesday that meets for Propel. Yeah, well, yeah, you guys are in here. And what's really amazing about that is that's a citywide thing. That's not just a church thing. But there's literally about half of the women don't have a relationship with Jesus. And they're coming to a church, coming downstairs in the dungeon, and getting to experience Jesus through those relationships of those women, and being their cheerleaders for each other and not tearing each other down, but coming and getting encouragement every single Tuesday. So that's a movement. That's movement. Those are all good things, but guess what? There's great things that are yet to come. God has laid on my heart, actually take a lot of my time and energy. I was going to get emotional right there. Back to being in Tucson, back to being in Midtown, we can throw food, we can serve food, we can serve the community, we can paint buildings and schools and all that. But what really is God is moving me is moving our church to make disciples. In Matthew 18, it says, go and make disciples. So all the things that we've been doing are good. They're great. But the best thing that we can do is bring people into relationship with Jesus. Invite them to it. Connect them to it. And walk with them so that they get to experience Jesus that we get to experience. So, with that said, we want to make disciples, but not just disciples. We want to make disciple makers in Tucson. The way we're going to impact Midtown isn't through food distributions, isn't through generosity feeds, isn't through doing a Sunday service. It's inviting people into our lives and sharing the Jesus that we know and that we love, and fight for them and pray for them and move them to the spot where they can experience Jesus. And so I want to take a quick moment. Kimberly and I, and there's a large group of people that have helped figure out kind of the discipleship pieces of what you're going to hear about. And this is one of the videos that literally crushed my heart in a good way, not in a bad way. Maybe that's my problem. But so watch this video. It's about 10 minutes. It's really good. And then I will come back and we'll kind of pick through the video.
Hi. It's great to be here. What I want to do right now is to try to deal with this issue of the good and the best. On the video there, you saw a good friend of mine, Chris Norman and Kathy Norman, leading out a church and making this transition from running the church as an operating system to running discipleship as the operating system of everything that they did, so that disciples go on mission, mission creates community. But to make that transition, you've got to make a decision, and the decision is this, that you're going to make fruitfulness and not success your number one objective. Fruitfulness is more important than success. Let me tell you a story about a Frenchman called Elziard Bouffier. In 1910, a young man first encountered Mr. Bouffier. He was a shepherd in the hills of Provence, in the foothills of the Alps. The young man that encountered him was a young man on a hike. He was walking through the countryside, he was reflecting, he was thinking, he was trying to work out what to do with his life. And as he walked through this barren landscape that had so little vegetation, he wondered how anyone could live here. But there on the horizon, he saw a figure. It was a shepherd with his sheep, scratching out, eking out an existence together. And as he watched this old man, he noticed that the old man would pause and use his shepherd's crook to make a hole in the ground, and he would drop something into that hole and then move on. And as he was leading his sheep, he was planting trees. The young man asked him, he said, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm replanting the forest of Provence." The young man looked around and all he could see was a barren wilderness. He said, "You're replanting the forest?" He said, "Yeah." After the First World War in 1920, that same young man went on a hiking holiday in Provence again. He went there because he was suffering from the trauma of the First World War. He'd been in the trenches fighting for his nation. He walked the same route that he had in 1910, and now there was grass and springs and saplings and small trees everywhere. And as he came to the edge of this little wooded area, he noticed an old man, and he was leading his sheep, Elziard Bouffier, and he was making a little hole in the ground and dropping something in it. He said, "Sir, didn't I see you 10 years ago?" He said, "Oh, yes, I remember you. What do you think to my forest?" In 1945, at the close of the Second World War, now, late on in his middle years, the same young man was now an older man. And he thought, you know, after the First World War, I went to Provence. Maybe I should go back again. He went back again, and now there was a huge oak forest. Noble, majestic trees everywhere. Streams and saplings and wildlife had returned. He walked through the wooded glades and came to the very edge of the forest. And he looked to the horizon. There's a bent over man. Leading his sheep. barely able to make a hole in the ground. Dropping something into the hole. He was recognized by his nation for his contribution because he had replanted the forest of Provence. And the reason he did that was because he set aside his capacity for success. Surely a man with that intentionality, with that kind of view of the future, could have achieved many things in his life. But what he decided to do was to commit himself to reproduction and a fruitful life that only at the end of it would show the evidence of what he'd done. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the Lord communicates for the first time to humanity. Adam and Eve are fresh from the womb of the earth. And our Father says to them the words that ring in our hearts to this day. Do you know why there are lights on in this room? There are lights on in this room because creation still to this day responds to the voice of God. And God began his creation with these words, "Let there be light." And when he gave you and I birth, he gave a single word that would forever define our existence. He said, "Be fruitful." And in the unfolding revelation of Scripture, we see that fruitfulness is not simply about procreation. Fruitfulness is about the capacity to multiply yourself into the life of the other. And we see the most fruitful person the world has ever seen is a man with no natural children, a man called Jesus. And he says this, "I've appointed you to bear much fruit. I've appointed you to multiply yourself into the lives of many people. But you cannot do it unless you abide in me. Here's my story. I was a successful leader, but I wasn't sure I was fruitful. And so I began the journey of fruitfulness, pouring myself into the lives of those around me. Sally and I, we joined hands in this. We sought to do the very thing that we knew that we would find most difficult, to multiply ourselves into the lives of others. And little by little, it began to grow. And as it grew, the Lord gave us this test. He said, "Now I want you to give it up. It's the largest church in England, but I want you to give it up and walk away. And now today, it's more than twice the size it was." And it is because there are fruitful people there. And there are fruitful people who've set aside the attractions of going for success before fruitfulness. But in the end, they'll see success, because they've set fruitfulness as their first calling. Here's a little PowerPoint to summarize what I want to say. Let's just go to the first slide. Small tree, lots of fruit. It's a good thing to have lots of fruit, even if you're a little tree. If you're a, next slide, big tree with a little fruit, you may appear to be successful in the eyes of trees, but not in the eyes of fruit. And fruit is more important than branches or leaves. Fruitfulness is more important than success. But if you'll commit yourself to reproduction, if you'll commit yourself to the fruitfulness of discipleship, you will be successful. And the day will dawn. Maybe you'll be bent over like Elziard. Maybe you'll be barely capable of forcing the crook into the ground to drop another seed. But everyone will see you as successful as well, because you'll have gone beyond the fruitfulness of a single tree. If we see the next slide, and then the next one, because we'll get an orchard. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to go to meet Jesus knowing that there's an orchard that kind of bears your name? It's for his glory, but it's your work for him. I want to do that. I want to be that. I encourage you to do the same. Amen.
I hope you're moved by that. Because since I watched that video, I have caught myself thinking about being successful and not being fruitful. And I want the back half of my life to be about being fruitful and seeing that fruitful and those orchards and those trees be developed here in Midtown so that we see the patterns of destructiveness go away. Fruitfulness is more important than success. Is Elements going to be a church building orchards of Jesus and for Jesus? Are we personally building orchards for him? Are we people that are willing to work to bear the fruit, or are we just going to be good-looking trees? And my answer to that is, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we will be fruitful if we let him change us and let us plant orchards in Midtown until we go home to see him. Jack has spent about 5 weeks, and I think it's probably some of Jack's best teaching. Absolutely. Give me applause. Because when we encounter Jesus, we change. And that's why it's in our mission statement. Life-giving, life-changing. When we encounter Jesus, we're changed. And so we are changed when we have a changed heart, a changed mind, a changed relationship, changed community, and a changed purpose. When we allow Jesus to come into our heart and mind, those are changed. And I think I have a handout for you right now.
You guys just... Ryan, come in, sir.
On one side, it says the followers of Jesus. And if you've been here for the last 5 weeks, this should be review material. If not, you can catch them all online or on the app. And Jack does a really good job of explaining how we're changed and how our lives have to change when we encounter Jesus. There's, as you read through that, that's just for your reference, and you're going to hear a lot of that coming from teaching and from your kids and e-kids and from your students, because we believe at the end of the day, when we are discipled, when we live a changed life, I want to read this, we have to disciple others, we walk with others, and we teach them how Jesus lived and how we are supposed to live like Jesus. And when we do that, the end result is we are changed. And so our hope and our prayer and what we're aiming for is as we disciple people, as we invite people into our lives, not just to church, if we invite them into our lives, then they will be changed. Okay? So, and now you're asking, okay, that's great and all. And so there are some structures that Elements already does, and Kimberly is largely responsible for some of those, the e-group structures and stuff, and she's going to come explain some of the structure pieces to that, and then I will come back with your challenge, and then we will be done.
Mm-hmm. Micah, do you have it up on the screen? I feel a little shorter. What? I'm just going to take it off. This stresses me out. Okay, so this is, Hannah created this too. Yay, Hannah. Right now, I wanna talk about e-groups. E-groups, a lot of us do this well in here. Many of the e-group leaders are here tonight, and you guys are part of my heroes, because it's the week in, week out, opening up your home or going to someone's home and really being responsible for the spiritual formation of Elements. This is what we have right now. And it's 6 to 12 people, unless you go overboard, don't do Bible studies and hanging out with each other. This is where we build community at Elements. This is where we dig deep into the Bible and we learn more and more about what he's asking us to do. Our church, we have about a 60% or even more of people in e-groups. I think we have over 192 people in e-groups. That's amazing. That is really good. But we also want to give people that they're not going to come sit around somebody's house and chat. That's not comfortable for them. So one of the other things we want to offer people is called a Go community, where this is between about 20 and 50 people reaching a specific neighborhood or networks of relationships. This is where we want to get 3 to 4 e-groups together or just a community together and serve, which again is something you guys are amazing at, but be a little more concentrated. We do the food distributions, right? We do it twice. We do it the second and the fourth Saturday. What would it look like if we had 20 to 50 other people coming alongside and praying for people and listening to people and sharing their news, their good news, or how Jesus changed their life? Just loving on people rather than just giving out the food, which is great. We're meeting a need. But we got to take it a step further. What if in that community, in that line of people, there's about 120 people that line up? What if we found out that they lived in the streets right around there and we adopted a street? We adopted an entire street and we just spent 6 months to a year just praying over and fixing up and just loving on that street. Imagine what God could do with that. And some people are more comfortable with the serving than the e-groups. But some of you are ready for something just a little bit deeper. And that's what we're calling a huddle, where it's 2 to 5 people of the same gender. And that's where you're really diving deeper. That is where you're holding each other accountable for the way you're reflecting Jesus. That's where you are really digging deep in the scriptures and finding out more and more about this amazing God we serve. Are we adoring Jesus? Are we worshiping him? Do we know who he is? You're helping people. Remember, we're about life and heart transformation, not behavior modification. We don't need you to come here and act like a Christmas tree. Christmas trees, they're beautiful, but they're dead. They are not connected to the vine. They've got great ornaments and great lights, and you go by and go, wow, that's a great Christmas tree. But a live Christmas tree is only live for 30 days, maybe 25, and it's dead. We want to be trees that are fruitful, even if we're small, which is great news for a lot of the small little people in here, Marco. And the only way we can do that is by staying connected to the vine, staying connected to the Father, and understanding who this Jesus is, and coming face to face with him. And that's what this is, the huddles. And some of you are going to be involved in all three. Some of you, we're just asking that you just pick one of these, wherever you're at, and commit to being a part. Especially the Go community, you're going to have to help create that. You can't go, oh, Jack, Brian, that sounds like a great idea. What do you want me to do? They're going to look at you and say, what do you want to do? We've got tons of community partners in this area that are already doing great things. Let's not reinvent the wheel. We can get connected with them. So if you're wondering, e-groups, we've got curriculum for a year that starts with the Change series and really goes over what it means to follow this Jesus. But you also got to be willing to live life with each other a little bit. And the huddles, that's where you're really going to find out how each other are of holding each other accountable and how we're reflecting Jesus. So a person can hop on any circle. And that's kind of the structure that we're... the huddles. I also have curriculum for a year. Because if you're thinking, I have no idea what to do. Literally, things to go over, verses to go over. It doesn't have to be exactly, but I help give you... I've created an outline of a year process of what that kind of looks like. And the same with the e-groups. It's actually for e-groups, it's 18 to 24 months of curriculum and kind of things to be hitting and going over and experiences them to walk through. So.
I don't know.
Just clip. It's just a clip. It's like a hair clip. So does that seem reasonable? It's pretty straightforward, right? Yeah. Pretty intentional. It's not, you don't have to have a paperwork trail. You just got to be willing to join an e-group or get into community with some other guys or some other gals. I don't know where that came from. But this will help make disciples, challenging each other, getting to know who Jesus is and our identity. And the scriptures have been proven over and over and over again to the biggest growth of a person. The biggest change quotient is God's word. That's in an e-group, in a huddle, your own personal reading. All of that literally equates you being changed with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So on the other side of that, this is the other strategy, or the other invite that I'm inviting you guys to, is this. This is a blessed way of life. In chapter 12, Abraham, if you read it, it says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you your name great. You're going to be a blessing into the people of the earth and will bless through you. This scripture is huge. So Abraham was... what was the promise that Abraham was given? This is a test. Someone loud, say it proud. Okay. All right. All nations of the earth would be blessed through him. So we can take that and extrapolate it to now. We're sitting in this room being blessed, eating chicken and ribs because of Abraham's promise that God gave Abraham. So the question, and I've done some research on this, and Lyle brought it up in one of our staff meetings, is two groups of people going to convert an area versus bless an area. And so they did that for a year. One was just going to convert. I'm going to tell you who Jesus is, And then that's it, and we're gone. We're not going to do anything. The other group literally went intentionally and found ways to bless the community that they were in. What do you think the results were? The blessed community found 50% of the people that they touched or blessed were following Jesus. And the ones that were doing the convert was a lot less. What did you say? Three people. Just think about us in your own life. Do you want to be told what to do? Do you want to be told how to clean your house? Then the HOA comes into your house and puts up the little sticker that you got to, you know, move your trash can or pick the trash or, you know, the weeds. We don't like that, do we? But what if our neighbors came over and picked our weeds and moved our trash cans and did and blessed us? And it's not about us, but how do we bless others? Who works in a cubicle of some sort? How do you bless the cubicles around you or the people you interact with? And this is the strategy, is if we are blessed, we are to, if we are blessed, we are to bless. And I know there's, each one of you have a story of where someone blessed you. I have a ton. This week alone, I've had great emails and texts of just encouragement from people. But let's just briefly read through this BLESS strategy. It's an acronym. It's easy to remember. And it's very simple. And what I'm going to ask you guys to do is act these out. So as we're reading over these, be thinking of people that this applies to, okay? Begin with prayer. That's a pretty simple one, right? I find this extremely hard. Anybody with me? No one's with me? All right, that's a solo party right there, all right? Begin with prayer. We want you to ask God and show, just to show you, to enlighten you on an area where you can be a blessing. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. It can be, God, show me today how I can bless my coworkers, or bless my neighbors, bless my spouse, bless someone in the community. It doesn't have to be huge, but we're asking God to show us what that looks like. Listen. This is a word in our culture that is extremely, extremely hard. Listen, don't talk, but listen to people, their struggles, their pains, their people and places that God has sent you. So you're going to pray, and then you're going to ask nothing. You're going to listen. How many are going to struggle with this one? Yeah. This is my favorite one. Is the next one is eat. Have a meal with someone, a cup of coffee, invite them into some kind of hospitality. The greatest conversations I've ever had in my growth as a leader, as a disciple, was some of the conversations I've had with Glenn at a restaurant. It wasn't in his office. It was at Village Inn. Subway. And my favorite, Burger King. Yeah, can't eat there anymore. Sorry, Glenn. But just invite them into eat with you. First, you're going to pray. Then you're going to listen. And then you're going to invite them to eat with you or share some time with you. And then you're going to serve. If you listen to people and you eat with people, they will tell you how to love them. You guys do this well. You may not, it's not an official blessed strategy, but a lot of you do this well. The last S stands for your story. And this is where I want to spend some of your time. You each have a story that Jesus has marked and moved you through. Every single one of you. whether we've chosen to follow it all the way or whatever, whatever it is, we have a story. So if we can be a blessing to people, we're not just doing this so that we can convert them. We're being a blessing because we are blessed. And we want to be fruitful. We want to bring people into a relationship with Jesus. And so be ready for the last S. Not to vomit on them your whole story, but why do you do what you do with Jesus? And what does that look like? And I'm going to ask you guys to practice this. It says that if 17% of your congregation will adopt a new behavior, the rest of the behavior of the whole congregation will follow. If I look at the amount of people that are here tonight, 50? Is there 50? We're over 17%. And so if we live lives of this and continue the story of who Jesus is in us, and we continue to bless others, we'll continue to tell our story of how Jesus is powerful and mighty and glorious and a savior. And that is how we become fruitful, not just the bless strategy or bless for life, but we want to be disciples. We want to bring people into a life-changing relationship with him. And I'm going to ask you to do one of these every day. Uh-oh. I'm going to ask you to do a B, which should be fairly easy to do, right? Listen. Eat. Yes. Serve or tell your story. I'm going to ask right now, you guys have already committed to serving on e-teams, on boards, and doing all that kind of stuff. I'm going to ask a little bit more of you. I want you to commit to 3 Sunday nights this summer. One being, just real quick here. One being June 3rd. July 2nd, and August 5th. Those 3 dates are we're going to do something similar to this. I can't promise you ribs and chicken every time. But what I want to do is next time that we meet in June 3rd, I want to hear the blessing stories from you. And we're going to spend time that night hearing how the prayers that you've been praying, the stories that you've been able to tell, the ways that you've been able to bless people around you. Yes? Because remember, 70% of us say, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to live this out. We're going to live out our changed life. Yes, Karen? It's a Sunday, whatever that July is, the closest.
The first Sunday of the month.
It would be July 1st then. I was looking at 1976, sorry. So those are so June 3rd, July 1st. Thank you, Karen, for watching the dates on that. And August 5th. I want you guys to put those on your calendars and commit to that as much as you can. We're videotaping these, and so you'll be able to hear them if you can't miss it. But it is very, 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 very important for us to be in the room together, seeing, praying, and moving as we begin to plant orchards in Midtown. The other thing I want you to commit to, if you're not already, is helping us start Go Communities, getting the e-groups together to serve in a way that is powerful in with partners in the area. One, gather some people up and take your relationships that you've kind of been hanging out with and take it to another level and go to a huddle and take those relationships a little bit different, deeper, be transparent and authentic in doing that. And then also, if you're not committed to an e-group, find one. We have them. You can go talk to Kimberly, and we've got some others, just to get into that community. Because orchards are hard to grow. But we serve the master of all orchards. And I just need you guys to commit that we want to be the hope and light to Midtown Tucson. In a couple weeks, Jack and I are going to be doing an Own It sermon. It's the week after Mother's Day, and we're going to ask you to make a commitment for a year that you are partnering with us, that you are full in with your resources, your energy, and your time, and that you are on a path that we want you to be a disciple and a disciple maker. And so just letting you guys know that, we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks, but we'll have cards there to sign for a year of, hey, you know what, I'm going to commit what I can and to move and let God move me and change me in this next year. Okay? I like feedback. So if you can, I feel like I'm up here by myself. I would just like to close us in a word of prayer. And I have sensed more than ever before that the Holy Spirit is moving in Tucson in a powerful way. Through the prayer summits that I've been a part of, up with some pastors up in Mount Lemmon, and just talking with people and conversations of how things are going, God is moving. And I would love Element City Church to be right there planting seeds as the Holy Spirit moves in us and through us and on us here in Midtown Tucson. So I'm going to pray in that order, and so please join me in that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're imperfect people, and you know that. And Lord, we want to do what's best for you and what you have planned. Well, Lord, we want to chase after you. And Lord, we want to be fruitful, but we need to be connected to you. And Lord, just help us live bold, intentional lives, proclaiming the gospel like it says in Ephesians. And Lord, we want to live lives full of blessing as we bless others around us. And Lord, some of that blessing comes easy. Some, it's going to be harder. But Lord, give us the strength and the courage to stand in the gap for some of these destructive patterns and things that have been going on here in Midtown. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit just give us a fresh new look, a fresh new anointing here at Emmanuel and Element City Church, Lord, as we hold up and stand in the gap for Midtown. Lord, we ask for workers, we ask for resources, we ask for everything that you need to give us to make your kingdom known here in Midtown Tucson. And Lord, I am in awe of you. I am in awe of your glory and in your power and your might as you've brought all these people to Element City Church, committed and wanting to see lives changed. And Lord, give us the courage and the boldness, even when it's hard, to focus on you and to move towards you with authority because you've already won. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you. If you have any questions, we'll hang out and talk. But let's just make an impact. Let's bless the community around us and see what the Holy Spirit and Jesus does with it. Okay? All right. Thank you, guys.